Hey guys, welcome back. We are here with another episode, another video game review, actually. Yes. And Tyler's more excited about this one than the last one we posted a few days ago. So, Tyler, this is your thing. I'm just here to look good, but I may just jump in with some. Sure. Wow. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
You said you've been watching some videos and stuff, right?
Yes. So okay. I know what's going on. You're not. I don't know the ending. I don't know what happens. But I haven't watched some videos.
Neither do I yet.
Neither do you. Okay.
I haven't gotten that far.
Okay.
But today we are talking about.
I can't think of a good game to say. I literally was trying because you're getting me tired.
We're talking about Kingdom Hearts 3, which is
the actual Kingdom Hearts 3 that is finally out after 12 years of waiting. It's not a joke.
No, it's not a joke, and it's not actually a side story. Here. People are actually playing it. A lot of people have actually finished it. I have not had enough time in my life finish it with everything else going on, but I've gotten as far as I can. I think based on what I've heard about the different worlds that are included in this one, I'm probably a little bit over halfway,
okay.
I believe. So I've at least got a good gauge on how the game works and plays and how much I love it. But I don't have a subjective, like, I played the game and this is what I think, you know. I'm still currently playing.
Okay.
But, what?
Just the way you said it, everyone's objectively playing that I'm still currently playing. But, anyway.
What I can say is that it's an absolutely gorgeous update of the Kingdom Hearts series.
It's been 12 years.
Yeah. It works just beautifully, and it takes different systems from the different Kingdom Hearts games and integrates them all into one, like, really good combat system. It takes the more basic combat from the first couple and adds the flow motion from the Dream Drop Distance and stuff like that. And it also adds, like, even bigger, like, summons and special attacks and things like that, like the Trinity attacks that you got a feel for in the other games, but these are just, like, huge scale, like, attacks, and they're all, or at least, do I want to say all? Most of them are based on, like, actual Disney World attractions. So, like, you know, you'll have attacks, like, there's one where it's Peter Pan, it's the Jolly Roger from Peter Pan, but not, like, the actual one from the movie. It's, like, the Jolly Roger from, like, the parade at Disney World. So it's, like, the Jolly Roger, but it's, like, on a pivot. And you just, like, swing back and forth, like, beating up enemies with this giant ship. And there's another one where you hop inside the Buzz Lightyear car from the Space Ranger Spin, and you're, like, shooting at them. And then there's one based on, like, the River Rapids and stuff like that. It's just, it's really cool to see that they've integrated not just the Disney worlds, but also, like, the parks and stuff, too. So that's really cool. The story is just as convoluted and messy as always.
Thanks, Square.
And I kind of love it. It's one of those where I, you know, having played all of the games at some point or another, I haven't really gone back and revisited some of, like, the DS ones and stuff, but having played all the games at least once, there's a lot of stuff that I'm kind of grasping better than the people that are just jumping into 3. But there
can people do that, though? Like, now here's the thing. I know I can.
There's actually there's been stories about people who jumped into Kingdom Hearts 3 and gave up because the story was so confusing to them.
Now here's something that I don't know if I talked to you about this one or I've told you about it. Shout out to the Angry Video Game Nerd, because he needs more shout outs, apparently. Recently, I think right before or right after Kingdom Hearts 3 came out, he posted a video of one of his series.
Okay.
And it was called, Tyler, Chronologically Confused About the Kingdom Hearts Timeline.
Okay.
So you have someone like me who thought, okay, I know there's a lot of them, but I thought it was just Kingdom Hearts 1, 2, 3. And then, of course, everything else just kind of makes it, no, Tyler. Apparently, I think, like, Birth by Sleep is from the PSP is technically the very first one in the
story. And that's why it gets so messy, is because you meet characters and you have these big events happen
yes.
in all of the spin-offs. the spin-offs are technically like core games because these important things happen and they integrate all of that into Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, and it's so
if
weird.
If you just play Kingdom Hearts 3, or even if you just play the Kingdom Hearts trilogy, you're still missing like characters and backstory from like a one-off PSP game or one of the original DS games or something like that.
Yes, I believe like even Recoded on the DS was actually just called Coded, and it was a mobile game in Japan.
Yeah.
That they brought over here. And then I think a few of the other ones, like he didn't mention the Game Boy Advance one. I think it was like a card game one. He didn't mention that as part of the story. But it's just weird because then you have like 358 over 2 days for the DS is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he mentioned, what's the 3DS one called?
Birth by Sleep.
Birth by Sleep.
No.
No, that was, no. What am I saying?
Birth by Sleep was,
that was the PSP.
PSP. The 3DS one was Dream Drop Distance.
Yeah, like, I don't think he mentioned that one at all, but, you know, for people that are just jumping into 3 or wanting to get just into 3, it's just...
Dream Drop Distance was, I will admit, a little bit less crucial to the storyline as far as, like, the big story beats go, but it is a really good 3DS game. If you're just looking for a solid game for 3DS, which I don't know why you would be anymore because you should be playing on a Switch instead, but
hey,
if you are still playing on your 3DS, Dream Drop Distance was a really good game and a really good Kingdom Hearts game, and it featured some of the really cool worlds in it. There was a really cool Tron level and stuff like that that you might, you know, if you're into that mixture of like Square Enix and Disney, it's a solid entry into the series.
Yeah, and I think for me what it is, you know, I've played some of the other ones. I got to go back and really revisit at least the first two games of storylines before I jump into 3. But I know how excited, Tyler, obviously you were ever since I met you. Like, you always said how Kingdom Hearts is one of your favorites. And just how long people waited for this game to come out and the patience that they've had. And it seems like it really, honestly, Square took their time. They did what they needed to do. Obviously, Disney's always changing. So if it came out for the PS3, it would have missed out on a whole bunch more stuff now.
Yeah.
But it seems to be meeting and exceeding people's expectations. I've yet to see one review lower than a 9 out of 10.
It's really good.
Or, you know, like 4.5
out
of 5. It's
really good. And a big part of that is the nostalgia. This game relies so much on just, like, fan service and giving the people what they wanted after all these years.
Yes.
And it does that really well. A lot of it is just, it's a really good game that follows up these really good games that people just fell in love with.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's like, I can't, like, not only am I enjoying it more than, you know, a lot of games, like, this just, it blows Resident Evil out of the water.
Gee, thanks.
And I mean, like I said, I liked Resident Evil 2 a lot, but this game, the nostalgia factor and the solid gameplay and them just taking all of these games that I've loved over the years and bringing them back and, you know, not just covering like 1 and 2, but bringing all these games that you wouldn't think were so important and making them an important part of the mythology.
Right.
It's like it all fits into this one like really good package that's maybe not quite as cohesive as it could be, but you kind of know what you're getting into if you've ever played a Kingdom Hearts game. But like the combat is really good. The graphics are really good. The most of the voice acting is really good. They got something like 60% of the voice actors, or at least voice actors, to come back. A lesser percent of them are the official voice actors, but upwards of 60% were official Disney voice actors for these characters at some point. Whether they were the ones that originated it, or ones that did an animated series for it, or whatever the case may be. But even the ones that are just like impersonations are really good. And it's just, it's so whimsical and so fun. It kind of, like, it's got, like, a serious story to it, but it's not afraid to just be silly and be Disney, too. It's just, it's such a good, like, RPG and fan service game that it's hard to find things to complain about. Because it takes these different pieces of, like, a Square Enix RPG and these different Disney worlds and just kind of this like whimsical, lighthearted adventure. And it takes these like, it mashes all these things together that you would think shouldn't work at all, but it's such a good package. It mixes everything just so efficiently that it's just so much fun to play. And it kind of, it's like the ultimate form of escapism, you know?
Okay.
It takes, like, just things that make you kind of forget about what might be going on in your day. And it just kind of, it's just unabashedly fun. Especially, you know, in a society where it's like, we've got all these games that are, you know, sometimes overstuffed. And there's, like, just a lot of extraneous stuff to do. And people feel like they need to get, you know, so much content out of their games. And so they take these, like, massive open worlds and, you know, stuff them with tiny little activities that might be grindy and boring and repetitive, but they have to do it because gamers get so picky about having so much content.
Mm-hmm.
This game is just, like, it's fun. It doesn't... I mean, there's like one or two things,
okay,
you know, that I'm not going to spoil, but there are, it's not even like really a collectible per se, but there are a couple things that you can like find around each world to kind of enhance and, you know, lengthen your gameplay a little bit, but it's not super, worried about making it like, you know, let's pack the worlds really densely and give them this super big world. It's like, they're taking you on the adventure, and they just want you to enjoy the ride. And it's...
So it's kind of like going to Disney World.
Yeah. It's like being on a really long, really beautiful Disney ride.
And that's really what it's all about for a game like this, I feel. Yeah, you got the RPG aspects in it, the JRPG, whatever version it is. But for a game like this, and how long people have waited, and like you said, it's kind of like an escape for them, is that, you know, we were, what... 10, 11, 12, 13 when the first games
yeah.
came out. Now we're closer to 30.
Yeah,
now, and
we're inching in on 30.
Yeah, so it's like...
And these were a part of our childhood, more or less.
Absolutely, and I think it's a good closure, because from what I can tell, this one kind of wraps up the story until they revamp it or redo something.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to make sure I say this, too. I don't think it's on Xbox, but for those of you who... need to get into the games in general, just all of them, there is a
yes.
collection on the PS4 that's got every one of them.
Yes,
the
that's
PSP,
a,
the 3DS, everything.
That's an excellent point. You can get physical copies of the old games. They released them in like three different packages.
Yes.
1.5 has like the first game and a few spinoffs. Kingdom Hearts 2.5 has Kingdom Hearts 2 and a few spinoffs. And then there's one called like Kingdom Hearts 2.8 or something like
yeah.
that just had the extra extraneous stuff. It had a couple more of the spinoffs and like an interactive movie or something like that to get like the full package and fill you in. And that's so much gameplay. There is so much value there,
mm-hmm.
especially considering you can get those now for what? Somewhere between like $20 and $40?
Yes.
For less than $100, you can be getting upwards of, you know, what, 13 games? Something
just,
like
just
that.
Just get the collection. I think it's like a $40 or $50 game.
Yeah.
And it's got everything you need.
Yeah, and the there's also, if you don't want to go get the physical copies, they have a complete digital package on PS4 as well. That you can just buy it on the store, and it gives you everything in these physical copies for, I think, just an even 100.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's $99.99, and it comes with not only all of the old stuff, all like 11 or 12 old games, but also Kingdom Hearts 3. So it's everything Kingdom Hearts has been released all in one big digital package. With the caveat that both the physical and digital versions of these packages are PS4 exclusives only. The Kingdom Hearts 3 was released for PS4 and Xbox One, and I'm gonna go ahead and let you guys know I was one of like the betrayers that I'm playing it on Xbox. But yeah, I don't know if you care or not, but if you're one of those people that gets all huffy about that, I am playing it on Xbox One, mostly just because I've got the Xbox One X, and it plays at a higher frame rate and a higher resolution, and it just looks absolutely gorgeous on the 4K TV. And so it's not like a brand loyalty thing. It's not like a statement, anything like that. It's just comparing the different versions, I realized that this game that I was super excited for, and this game that I've been like just feeding off the nostalgia for the last 12 years or so, the best version of it is on the Xbox right now for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, that seemed like the obvious choice, is to get it in the way that it would look and play best for me. And so there's no, like I said, there's no like hostility there. Like, you know, I'm doing it because I can do it, you know. It's just, I was excited for this game, and it made sense in my head to get the version that would look and play best.
I'll give you that one, and especially with you being such the big fan that you are, it's like you want to get the best experience that you have.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say if you did have a PS4 Pro, you probably just end up getting it for the PS4 just to kind of go with the...
Yeah, I mean, because the only... I got the PS4 on launch day, and I didn't get the Xbox One because of... I'm sure if you're listening to us, you're knowledgeable enough to know everything that went down at that infamous E3 where the Xbox One and the PS4 were revealed. So I did the PS4 on launch day, and I didn't get an Xbox One until last year. And I got it for... I got the Xbox One X. So it's got the 4K capabilities and the more powerful hardware. So it's like, if that's an option, and it's like enhanced with, like, you know, the higher textures, the higher frame rate, whatever the case may be, that's kind of become my go-to over the last, like, just 6 months or so. Because that's the one that, you know, displays better for me.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I love my PS4. I'm not saying anything bad about that. And, you know, for exclusives and things, I'm all over it. But it's like, why not get the best version of the game you can? Why would you sacrifice that just for, you know, like a brand loyalty thing?
Now, for a big game like that, especially, again, with people who've been waiting all this time, which is why I'm still so excited to see no reviews less than a 9 or anything like that, mm-hmm. is, you know, people, you know, Square took their time with Disney to get it done right. And even when it was announced and the first little teaser was shown, it'd be like, it's going to be done when it's done.
Yeah.
And, you know, people want to make sure to get the best that they have. I mean, for me, I'm somewhat the same way. I mean, I've got a Switch and a PS4. I don't have an Xbox. But I'm at the point now where I prefer my Switch. So if it comes out on Switch, I'm going to get it for Switch. But mm-hmm. I love my PS4, and obviously... You know, I'm not getting, like, Resident Evil on Switch because it's not out, yeah. but, you know, just as an example on my end...
Which, this is a little bit off-topic. A
little bit.
But it fits in with my whole rant about the Xbox PS4 thing. Xbox Live is going to be expanding their services, not just to mobile devices, but to the Switch, which is the coolest thing ever,
which
because this is our slow road to actually getting unified platforms where everyone can play together on their system of choice without having to fight. If PS4 would get their heads out of their butts and Sony would actually work with any other company, we could have such a good harmony here because Nintendo is embracing this and letting it happen.
Think about that for a second. Nintendo is embracing this before Sony.
A company who is infamously, like, closed with their IPs and their consoles, and they're like, this is cool. We want the Xbox Live service on our platform. If Sony could embrace this, it would be amazing for everyone.
We're talking, and this would be the last thing I say so we don't go totally off track. We're talking about a company in Nintendo who sent two of their executives down to Brazil. I don't know if you remember this story tonight. Down to Brazil because somebody got their hand on Pokemon X and Y
yes.
early, and they were posting stuff online about the story and everything. They
yes.
sent, yeah, this is the same company that did that is embracing this.
Not a cease and desist letter. They personally went out there to
yes.
confront him.
Flew two executives from Seattle, Washington, down to Brazil, which couldn't be cheap.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's Nintendo. They just make money out of fist. But anyway, to go with this is like, yeah, you know, you have your brand loyalty, but you gotta make things look good.
Yeah.
For me, I've had my console choice, and, you know, like, my example is that Mortal Kombat, when that comes out, I actually have it reserved for the Switch over the PS4 because I prefer it. But for a big game, something, whatever, you know, you gotta get it for whatever consoles. I mean, I know, Telly, you're more PC, and I'm sure if Kingdom Hearts was on the PC,
you'd
do that.
Yeah, it wouldn't even be a choice. It would just be like, oh, that's gonna happen.
So for me, it's like Switch, PS4. For Tyler, it's PC, Xbox, PS4, which is understandable since the Xbox that you have is more powerful.
Yeah, but again, it's not even like I like the Xbox better than the PS4. It's that I like my specific Xbox better than my specific PS4.
Right, and you know, if I was in the same situation, I would say the same thing. I prefer PlayStation because I like their games more. You know, come end of April, early May, whenever we do that episode, I'll be talking about Days Gone when that comes out.
Yeah, you know? I also. We're getting really off topic now. Maybe yes. We should make another thing out of this.
Yes.
But I really like that the Xbox, they marketed that hard as like a media console.
Yes.
Whenever that came out, one of the things that people complained about was that it felt like they were trying to stray away from the games. And at the E3 thing, they were making a huge deal out of like all the other functions and how it integrate with your cable box and all this stuff. And people were like, why does that matter? We want to play cool games. And I feel like Sony and Microsoft have almost like switched places now. Where Xbox, whenever I turn it on, I feel like my games and my fun stuff are front and center. They want me to get back to having fun as fast as possible. And the PlayStation has a more sophisticated layout, which isn't a bad thing, but it feels like the PS4 is, if anything, more and more centered around being a home media console altogether. It focuses on a whole lot of things rather than just being about games anymore. And I mean, you know, it is first and foremost a games console, but I feel like this kind of like sophisticated layout has kind of geared it more toward media consumption in general rather Absolutely. Than about the games. And Xbox has like done a 180, and they were going for that feel. And when people complained about it, they were like, okay, you want games? We'll give you games.
They've really done better. So I've always, you know, I don't really care about all this extra stuff. I just want to play a good game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always said Sony's got the better exclusives, but Xbox has been making moves to make me want to get an Xbox. It didn't happen anytime soon, probably not, because I've been too busy with other things, and, you know, I still have a Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe sitting there, so a wonderful thank you, shout out to Mom and Dad who got me that for my birthday. I haven't even had a chance to play it yet, but
part of it probably is just kissing butt. They want to ingratiate themselves to their fans again, who might have been a little bit ticked off about how everything went down all those years ago. They're trying to kind of, you know, save face and turn things around for themselves. But they're doing it really well.
to wrap this up, because we are off topic.
Yes.
They're essentially doing what Sony did when the PS3 came out. It was like, it's going to be a $500, $600 console, big, clunky, whatever. Then they fixed it. They released the Slim, $299. Xbox seems to be doing it. History's repeating itself. Tyler, let's finish up with Kingdom Hearts.
Kingdom Hearts is beautiful and amazing. And it hits all the nostalgia notes. If you've played any of the others, you need to play this game. If you haven't played the others, you still need to play this game, but you should probably play the others first.
And again,
because it's confusing either way, but slightly less confusing if you've played the others, and you can get those really easily on the PS4 or the PS3 or the PS2. If you have any of the PlayStation consoles from the last, 20 years or so?
Pretty much.
You can go back and get at least the first two core games, if not the spin-offs.
And all of them on the PS2 and the other PS3. How did I forget that?
It's a number. It's not even like a new name.
I know. Console. Oh my god. Those are all relatively cheap. Even if you go for the DS games and the spin-offs there, all those games are relatively cheap too. They're not going to cost you a lot.
And they released, if you still don't have a PS4 for whatever reason, if you're still using the last-gen consoles, the PS3 had its own versions of the remastered packs.
Yes.
You can't get Kingdom Hearts 3 for the older consoles, but you can get Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and 2.5 and play those like backpacks with like the 10 or 11 like old games on it. So there is that option as well. But it's absolutely just, it's a glorious return for this series. It's not disappointing in any way.
No.
If you get the chance, you should definitely try this out. I'm gonna go out on a limb and give this a 9.5.
And
it's I don't want to say, you know, the perfect experience, but it's about as close to perfect as you can get for me. I really, really, really am enjoying this game. And if I had more time, if I had finished the game and had more time to reflect, it might be a 10. But as it stands, I'm still in my current first playthrough. I haven't had a chance to finish it, so I'm going to give it a 9.5.
And I'm still, much like my Resident Evil, I'm going to give it a question mark out of 10, because although the videos and everything look great, I've yet to have a chance to sit down and play it, mm-hmm. so I can't honestly give it a score.
Okay.
So, anyway, any last-minute thoughts, Tyler?
Go play Kingdom Hearts.
Go play Kingdom Hearts.
I don't even care which one. Just start playing some Kingdom Hearts.
Go get the Game Boy Advance Card Game 1 and play
Yes,
that.
Any of them. All of them. Just do it.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's going to wrap this episode up. Thank you so much for watching. We'll be back again in a few days with another episode, and we'll go from there.
All right.
Bye, guys. See ya.